We start the day by going to the Athens airport and flying to Rome. Our first sight will be the catacombs. They were ancient underground burial places. There were at least 60 such sites in and around Rome in an area of more than 90 acres, 12 miles long. Each is a system of passages on top of each other, from 20 to 70 feet below the surface. Originally, these tunnels were excavated for the purpose of mining various rock resources, such as limestone and sandstone. Since most Romans cremated their dead, Christians and Jews were the first to use the catacombs for burial sites. They were used because of the shortage of land and the Roman ban on burying within the city. When we visit, we'll go down several flights of narrow stairs. Once our guide settles on which level we're going to use, one of five levels, we'll find that our passageway may be as narrow as a few feet, but sometimes as high as 20 feet. The passages are lined with rows of burial niches carved into the walls, each about 2 feet high, with the link size to fit the person being buried, from a child to an adult. It is estimated that there are about 500,000 bodies total in all the Roman catacombs. Christian catacombs were important for many reasons, but one of them is that they provide a history of Christian art before 400 AD. They contain some of the first examples of Christian art. It is widely taught that Christians used the catacombs as a place to hide during Roman persecution and even to hold services. This is probably not true. Christians often came here to have a family meal near where loved ones were buried. They also came to honor the martyrs who were buried here. This drew so many pilgrims that air shafts had to be installed as well as wider staircases. Once Christianity became a state religion, people started using church cemeteries. In time, the catacombs were no longer used. People started coming here to find relics from the martyrs. This led to large-scale vandalism. Our next stop will be the Appian Way. It is one of the earliest Roman superhighways and was the wonder of its day. The road itself is about 12 feet wide, enough room for two carriages to pass one another. In addition to that, there was a sidewalk for pedestrians. It was built during the time of the ancient Roman Republic. At the time, they were trying to conquer the southern part of the Italian peninsula. They had lost battles because the army couldn't get supplies fast enough. So, this road was built going from Rome southeast to Naples. It then continues on to the heel of the Italian foot, about 330 miles total. It was successful in helping them conquer southern Italy. It also gave Rome direct access to an important harbor, with ships going from Greece and Egypt. Because of the success of the Appian Way, Rome built roads that extended to the borders of their ever-expanding domain. This was the basis of the expression, "All roads lead to Rome." Eventually, as they conquered the known world, they constructed over 50,000 miles of paved road. The first 10 miles of the Appian Way is preserved as a regional park, and we will walk part of it. As we stroll along, we'll remember we're walking on the same stones that Paul and Peter walked on, as well as Julius Caesar and all the rulers of Rome. The church along the road marks a place where tradition says Peter had a vision of Christ. The apostle was leaving Rome because of Nero's persecution. Jesus instructed him to go back into Rome, where he would be martyred. Rome has a small-town feel, even though it is a city of 3 million people. This is because there are no skyscrapers. But if Rome is a small town, the picturesque district of Trastevere is a tiny village within it. It is an old working-class neighborhood with a maze of narrow and winding streets and medieval houses. The name means across the river, referring to the Tiber River. It is actually across the river from the Colosseum, but it's on the same side as the Vatican City. It has been inhabited by the Romans since the 5th century BC, 2,500 years ago. It is known as a place where second-class citizens would live. It was home to mostly Jewish and Syrian settlers. Also, a large number of Christians lived in this area. It wasn't legal for them to build churches, so they met in homes of the more wealthy believers. Later, these homes became churches that still stand today. In fact, they are some of the oldest churches in Rome. The Apostle Paul lived in this neighborhood for 2 years. Today, Trastevere is full of charm and is a unique district in Rome. We will enjoy our time there. If you want to go deeper, go to YouTube and watch a couple of films about this unique district in Rome. In the email you get each week, you'll find a link to the Archives of Seminar Information. The link is under number 20, Rome, Day 1. Well, we'll enjoy our first night in Rome, but don't enjoy it too much. You need a good night's sleep to prepare for the next couple of days. As I look at the calendar, I see in 4 weeks we'll be together following the footsteps of Paul. As I said earlier, it's time to get off the couch and start walking. Personally, I have an exercise ritual that I maintain throughout the year, but starting this week, I'm increasing it so I can better prepare for our time together. I recommend that you do the same. Here is your tip for the week. The currency in Greece and Italy is the euro. All major credit cards are widely accepted except for American Express and Diners. Make sure you contact the card you're planning to use and tell them you will be in Turkey, Greece, and Rome. If you don't, they may put a stop on your card. They need to hear from you before you leave the U.S. I speak from personal experience. We'll talk to you next week.